Welcome back to Project Independence in You here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. And we were speaking with Danielle Galloway, who is a Project Independence social worker. She's been with JASA for about a year and a half and has been serving two of our regions at Project Independence. Another important thing that Project Independence, what we do at Project Independence, is we have a lot of fantastic connections and programs and people that we are linked to or try to link people to. So right now I'm going to introduce our next guest. We have Risa Berg. And Risa, you're an LMSW, and you are the Director of Education and Prevention at Long Island Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And that is one of the longest titles I've said on
it's
the show.
It's probably the longest title in nonprofit history.
I don't know. I'll have to count the letters. Christina has a really long title, too, but we do a whole nother show for that because it takes up a long time. Kathy Samuels is also here. Thank you and welcome. And
thank
I
you.
Don't have your description. So if it's, you know, within a 10-minute thing, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about your role.
Sure. I'm the project director for the Manhasset Community Coalition Against Substance Abuse, also known as CASA.
Oh, right. Okay.
And since 2001, CASA has existed in the Manhasset community as a resource to help reduce the illegal underage use of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription drugs. And we try to connect our partners across the community, whether that be the school, the town, parents, and youth. To help us further that goal.
Okay, Kathy, you know, at any time during the program, during our talk, please feel free to give out a phone number. If you think, you know, where could somebody reach you? I mean, if there's a good number or a good website, you know,
sure.
You can let us know. And then later in the show, the last half hour of the show, Christina and I and Sabina do kind of a talk of the town. So we can actually talk a little bit about that if you don't have that handy. But we'll make sure that people have a way to get in touch with you.
Great. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks. So, Risa, we were just talking briefly during the break about what's happening with our older generation, and maybe has been happening a while, but it's just kind of a topic you don't hear a lot about, and that's seniors and drug abuse. And because Project Independence is a senior program, you know, I'd like to kind of talk a little bit about that. And is this a newer trend? Is it something that's always been around? And, you know, what are kind of like the signs to look out for?
Sure. So, you know, this is something that's definitely always been around. And one of the challenges in terms of our older and wiser community is that sometimes substance use is harder to diagnose because it can mirror symptoms of other things. So if we're seeing grandma, grandpa with random bruises, falls, memory loss, these are things that we might attribute to something else rather than asking those deep questions that we might ask a 25-year-old or ask a 30-year-old. So these are different challenges that we're seeing. I will say that in the last 15 years, we saw a huge rise in the amount of drug overdoses with people over the age of 55 years old. I believe from 1999 to 2012, there was over 1,000% increase in the amount of fatal drug overdoses in that age group.
Wow.
So it's a big problem.
Right. It is a big problem. And, you know, that is also, and there's also a problem of, you know, just in general, as we get older, we tend to need more medication. So there's a lot of medication. There's tons of kinds of medication management that should be going on as we age.
Well, there is also something else. When you are younger, you have a husband, you have a wife, you have a family. You have to function. You have to go to the market. You have to have dinner on the table. If you are older, whether you're widowed or your spouse is there, you don't have to do anything, and you have a very, very lot of spare time, which I think is very bad for people.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, in addition to spare time, there's also maybe less people seeing you every day.
Right.
Right? So there's less of that check-in. With partners, spouses, children, as everyone's living their own lives. So.
It seems to be that, you know, if we are in a situation where we're maybe not necessarily isolated, but we live alone, and, it almost seems like a drug dependency could occur without even realizing it, too, because mm-hmm. you have, you know, especially if you've never had exposure to, painkillers or whatever the medication is to help you get through a recent fall. And, you know, before you know it, you become addicted. I mean, it really is an easy process. So it just becomes part of the pill, you know, regimen.
You know, one of the things I just want to talk about, if we could, is that piece about safe medicine practices. CASA right now has a grant, and we are partnering across Nassau County to relay key messages about safe medicine use.
Right.
And I know this because I recently worked with my mom, who's 87, who fell. She fell down the stairs, and she had broken her ribs. And the doctor prescribed for her hydrocodone, mm-hmm. which is an opiate.
Right.
And she was very insistent on finishing all of her medication.
Right.
So one of the things our grant talks about is that it's, on the one hand, it's very important to follow the directions that have been set forth by the healthcare professional. And also, in some cases, to make sure that no one else is using your medication and making sure we lock up our medication. So with my mom's case, you know, here she has an opiate in her house. Younger kids, grandkids coming into the house, it's important to make sure those medications are in safe places. But the other part of it is that medications are prescribed to seniors as well
right.
as adults based upon your weight, your age, and your condition. So it's real important for us, on the one hand, to follow the prescription directions, but when it comes to opiates, and I'm going to turn to Risa on this, is that we need to have further discussions with our doctors about these opiates because they can bring people towards that side of addiction if they're used in absence of pain. And I'm going to turn to Risa now to talk a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing with opiates is that opiates are depressants.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have someone who's also taking, let's say, some sort of anti-anxiety drug, Xanax every day, Ativan every day, put together, that can be a fatal combination. And these are things that maybe we're not doing a lot of education about. And sometimes doctors don't really have these conversations, right? If you're going to have your nightly glass of wine, you cannot mix it with your Percocet, your hydrocodone, whatever it is that you're taking. So these are difficult challenges that we're facing.
Right, definitely. Because like what Kathy was saying, you know, you've got some medications say, you know, you must finish, even if you're feeling better, you finish the entire, whether
right.
it's whether
antibiotics,
an
typically
antibiotic,
is, right.
you know, yeah. or if you're taking medication for hypertension. But, you know, when you get a prescription that says as needed for a day, you know, as needed doesn't mean have to. So, I mean, that clearly has to be expressed, too. So I think the doctors, I mean, do you feel, I mean, are doctors getting the message that they're, you know, they're having dialogue with their patients more because of what they're seeing with the senior population? Of course, also the senior population, we're seeing this growth because there is a huge growth in our senior population. We have seniors living longer. We have the baby boomers hitting 65. I think it's like 10,000 a day for the next 15 years. So, I mean, there's a huge, huge, they call it a tsunami, whatever. But that because of that, you know, we're seeing, I think, naturally an increase. And then there's also probably people who are getting older who might have had a past history of drug abuse, and now they're getting older and the back or whatever is going on, and they're finding themselves in a situation where, you know, really they might need some medication to help them get through. So, like, there seems to be, like, I guess, newer trends. Perhaps.
Sure. So in terms of our older adults that come into LICAD, we're seeing kind of one of two categories that they fit in. Either they're in that baby boomer category that you talked about,
right.
where there maybe was experimentation early in life, and that experimentation, that use continued through their adulthood and
right.
you know. And then we're also seeing this other group of people who maybe didn't really use much during their life. They were fully functional. They were going to work. They didn't really have those issues. And then once we remove, you know, the career, someone goes into retirement,
right.
a spouse passes, a divorce, children move out of the home, all these major life events, it's un- understandable why someone would then say, I don't know how to cope with all these changes. I would like to escape that. Right. And understanding something is an approval. But those are kind of the two outlets that we're seeing. At the end of the day, we treat them the same, right? Treatment is figuring out why they're using and finding right. healthier coping skills to deal with those changes.
Right. So it's important that you guys are doing what you're doing because education, ideally, getting this information to somebody before they fall into a pattern of, you know, addiction, maybe for somebody who's never had that in their life, is just, a crazy puzzle. And also those that may be reoccurring, is also difficult. So it's really good to get the word out there, you know, that to be aware that this can happen. I mean, it's like just one of those things you just don't think about. I mean, I think at one point, I don't know if it's still now, the fastest growing population of people becoming infected with HIV was the senior population. Right. I mean, you don't think of that. I don't know that necessarily is today. I don't think it is anymore. But, you know, these are things, you know, so as we get older, there are still, you know, in addition to all the aches and pains and things that we have to contend with, you know, we're dealing with, you know, the potential of drug addiction. But it's good that we talk about it and make people aware.
I believe that if you take too much of a medication, your system becomes used to it and it's not as effective, so you need more. So some people take more. My thing is I have to be desperate before I will take a painkiller. Because it's the last place I have to go when
right.
I feel bad. And I don't think seniors are educated about medicine.
We are going to hit back on this when we come back. We have to take a short break, but very important topic, and so glad that you both are here to talk about it because it needs to kind of get out there that, you know, there is drug abuse with our older population, and it's with prescription medication. It could be, you know, that way. So we will be back shortly. This is Senior Talk Radio, Project Independence and You.